You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, Buffalo Bills fans, welcome back. It's another edition of Breaking Buffalo Rumblings. I am your host, Anthony Marino. Happy to be here with you today talking everything Buffalo Bills. I hope you caught our earlier podcast talking about the two-year contract extension for Jerry Hughes. Exciting news as he signs a two-year extension through the 2021 season. $23 million, $19.5 million in guarantees. You can catch that in our earlier podcast, but today, as we talk about the OTAs, unfortunately, we do have some injury news to talk about as it relates to the Buffalo Bills. And jumping right into things, the biggest name on the list with the injury is the tight end Tyler Kroft, the new tight end for the Buffalo Bills. Y'all will remember that he was signed during the free agency period back in March. Really, you could probably say penciled in as the starting tight end for the Bills, despite other moves that they have made throughout the offseason. And apparently Kroft suffered a broken foot and will undergo surgery. The break actually took place during Monday's OTA session. Not too many details at that point, but it has been reported, confirmed by Sean McDermott during his press availability on Tuesday. And with that being said, while no definitive timeline has been given by the Buffalo Bills at this point, you are probably looking at after surgery, 3 to 4 months of recovery time for Kroft. So the tight end position, something that there has been a lot of conversation around the Buffalo Bills and what they would do to address the position during the offseason, right? The signing of Kroft, looking at him, his career with the Cincinnati Bengals when he was a starter coming in for guys that were injured, definitely a red zone target. Someone is seen as having some upside potential for the Bills. There was still question what the team might do in the draft. Would they look to take someone like a TJ Hockenson, an Irv Smith Jr., a Noah Fant, maybe with the first or a second round pick, depending on where those guys may have fallen. For the Bills, they did not address tight end in the draft until the third round when they packaged 2 4th round picks to move up and select Dawson Knox, as you remember, and using one of their 7th round picks to select Tommy Sweeney out of Boston College. The interesting thing with this is, what will the timeline truly look like for Kroft and his return, and how will that impact the other tight ends on the roster? So if we're talking 3 or 4 months from the injury, right, you're looking at the end of August on the early side of the time frame, or towards the end, or I should say late August on the early side of the time frame, or late September at the back end, if we're talking that 3 to 4 month time period for Kroft, which would be an interesting piece, depending on what the recovery truly does look like, and if that's when he gets to come back and start working out, or if that's when he will be back 100% and ready to be back on the field. Kroft will likely miss all of training camp, at least as of right now. It looks like he will be missing all of the preseason, which bears the question if he will start the season on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list. Is he a candidate for the injured reserve? I think it's much too early to talk about that as potentially, the injured reserve able to come back later during the season. But with Kroft, that really opens up what would likely be a starting tight end position for the Bills. So let's take a look at what the options are right now. Lee Smith, recently signed to the 3-year, $9 million contract. Smith is going to be that blocking tight end, right? So with that, he is not in a position that would be your quote-unquote every down starting tight end receiving threat on the roster. So you've got him. We talked about Knox, the converted quarterback from Ole Miss, who is probably seen as more of a project, right? Plenty of potential, incredibly athletic, but adjusting to the NFL game. I mean, traditionally, tight ends take a little bit of time to make an impact. And I think it would be we'd be getting ahead of ourselves if there was an expectation that Knox was going to come in and fill the void of a starting tight end right from the get-go. And of course, Sweeney being a seventh-round pick, what does that truly, you know, mean for him? He's probably going to be a little bit more of a stretch as far as it comes to making the roster. So, you know, again, a seventh-round selection, show some good upside, could do some good things, you know, with a good camp and what that may be. But again, not someone that is going to come in and be the starter for the team. The interesting candidate that we have not talked about yet is Jason Kroom. And Jason Kroom is a guy with all of these moves that have been made by the Bills that many, you know, we're starting to look at things and say, you know what, this is a guy that it might be a stretch for him to make the roster in 2019. You know, maybe they'll look more fondly on someone like a Sweeney, right, as a late round pick with some upside. Let's see what he's capable of doing. Now you're in a situation that you've got Croft down again for 3 to 4 months. What does that really mean? And Kroom is a guy, right, that can come in. He's had some experience. He's developed a rapport with Josh Allen. Now, all of a sudden, in a position as we start to look at things and think to ourselves, okay, what does Kroom bring to the table? What can he be for the Buffalo Bills? And is this someone that could potentially, as crazy as it sounds, is that a guy that could be your starter at tight end for the 2019 season, right? So a guy that initially looking at and thinking to yourself, okay, might be on the outside looking in. But again, you've got Lee Smith as a blocking tight end. You've got a couple of rookies, right? So you take someone like Tommy Sweeney, like Dawson Knox, probably not going to be ready to deliver at this point. And all of a sudden, Kroom comes to the table. And Kroom is a guy that we've seen some athleticism, a wide receiver who converted to a tight end. 22 catches last season, 259 yards, one touchdown. Again, flash some athleticism, a nice rapport with Josh Allen. But it will be interesting to see when you get more of a definitive timeline on Tyler Croft, what is going to happen. If it's something that potentially lingers, are the Bills going to be satisfied with what they have? If you listen to Buffalo Rumblings Q&A with Matt Warren, he talked before about Kyle Rudolph as a potential trade target for the Bills. If he doesn't work out, you know, some sort of contract parameters and get on the same page with the Minnesota Vikings, that's also likely getting ahead of ourselves, but it will be interesting to see if the Bills will settle in going into the start of the 2019 season with Dawson Knox, Jason Kroom, Lee Smith really as their top three tight ends, as opposed to making a move and maybe bringing in some sort of a veteran presence if Croft is going to be shelved for some period of time. So a bit of breaking news on for the Buffalo Bills during the second day of OTAs. And even when you talk about Kroom just a little bit, it was reported by Sal Capaccio at WGR and others that Kroom was a guy that actually had to leave the practice field and go to the field house with a trainer during Tuesday's OTA session. So no definitive report on what that may have been. But early on, the Bills banged up at tight end, and interesting to see what that will hold for them moving forward. Some other injuries to report on from the OTAs. Again, we talked to you about Tyler Croft. Wide receiver Cole Beasley and center Mitch Morse both had core muscle injuries. They underwent surgery a few weeks ago. Not quite sure what that means. It doesn't seem to have any effect on their timeline as it relates to training camp or anything for the regular season. Maybe something just to keep an eye on, but right now I'm not putting too much stock into either of those injuries being anything major for either of those two players. Russell Bodine is still recovering from shoulder surgery that he suffered last season, so he was not participating. Running back Frank Gore, foot and ankle injury. He was limited in the OTA practice on Tuesday. Here's an interesting one. David Sills had a hamstring injury that he sustained in rookie minicamp. He was limited during the OTA session. Sills is quickly becoming a fan favorite for many fans of the Buffalo Bills. I think someone that many are having some expectations as that undrafted free agent that could be a favorite to make the 53-man roster. I'd like to see what Sills can do during the OTAs. I think that can give him an opportunity to make an early impression on the coaches. So that hamstring injury, definitely something to keep an eye on moving forward. Taron Johnson wore a red non-contact jersey throughout the OTAs, as did Raphael Bush. And TJ Yeldon suffering a groin injury, did not practice during Tuesday's OTA session. Kind of in more of a good news side of things, Matt Milano was a full participant. You guys remember that he broke a leg during the 2018 season, and both the punters, Corey Carter and Corey Bajorquez, were both full participants coming back from the injuries that they also suffered during the 2018 season. So as you go into it, right, the start of OTAs, the last thing you want to be talking about is injuries to any member of your team, your favorite team, for us specifically, the Buffalo Bills. Tyler Kroft breaking the foot that he did have a previous injury with during the 2018 season, something to monitor, and we will have more updates as they do come available. Really, the update we're waiting for really right now is what is the definitive timeline for his recovery. By all accounts right now, it's being reported 3 to 4 months, but that has not come from the team. That has more come from sources and national reporters. So it will truly be something worth monitoring. So we're going to take a break real quick. We'll be back after the break with more Breaking Buffalo Rumblings. So stick around.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, Buffalo Bills fans, welcome back to Breaking Buffalo Rumblings. I'm your host, Anthony Marino. Talking about the OTAs, we touched base before the break, talking everything with the tight end group and the injury to Tyler Kroft and the impact that they might have on the Buffalo Bills. Also mentioned earlier, Jerry Hughes signing his 2-year contract extension. In my opinion, great news for the Buffalo Bills, locking him up through the 2021 season. Will be great to see what he can do on the revamped Buffalo Bills defensive line with the addition of Ed Oliver. But right now I want to talk to you a little bit about the offensive line. And you talk about being revamped. We've got some notes that came out of OTAs. Tuesday's session was open to the media. And a report from Matt Perino of NewYorkUpstate.com does a great job there covering the team, him and Ryan Talbot. And he's got some notes on the early offensive line depth chart that I really wanted to share with everyone. And I'll read this section from Perino and then kind of share some feedback as well. But here he writes, new franchise center Mitch Morris underwent a recent core muscle surgery, as we talked about before the break, wasn't available for practice. That's the exact reason Bills general manager Brandon Bean went out and signed depth linemen with position flexibility. Here's how Bills coach Sean McDermott and Dable had the linemen slotted in practice. So this comes directly from Perino. With the first team at left tackle was Deion Dawkins, at left guard Spencer Long, at center John Feliciano, At right guard was Quentin Spain, and at right tackle, Ty Nesecki. With the second team, at left tackle was LaAdrian Waddle, at left guard, Wyatt Teller, at center, Ike Bodiger, at right guard, Jeremiah Searles, and at right tackle, Cody Ford. So interesting from this standpoint, right, there was definitely some question early on. Was Ty Nesecki going to get first-team reps with at left tackle? Was Deion Dawkins going to be shifted inside? Were the Bills going to try and send some sort of a message? Way too early to tell with any of this, but from this standpoint, at least the fact where this first day that the media was available, Deion Dawkins at left tackle, my guess is going into training camp, unless something changes, that Deion Dawkins is the incumbent starter over the past two seasons once he came in for Cordy Glenn, will have the opportunity to compete and maintain the position at left tackle. What happens at right tackle is going to be a little bit more worth monitoring, I guess you could say, for the time being. Ty Nesecki getting the first team reps during OTAs, Cody Ford at right tackle, in all expectation, right? Cody Ford is going to be starting at the beginning of the 2019 season. The Bills having a first round grade on him, trading up in the second round to draft Ford with the 38th overall selection out of Oklahoma. I would be shocked if he is not a starter at the beginning of the 2019 season. Now, there very could well be more of a learning curve, maybe some things where he's not the starter during the first couple of weeks, but as the team will look to build some continuity with this group and identifying that top five to be the starters and really get the majority of the snaps, it will be worth monitoring how things play out for him, how things play out for Ty Nesecki. It is way too early to start monitoring, I guess, what the expectations are for the offensive line, especially when we're just talking through OTAs. But I did think it was interesting enough to share that, especially that first team unit, right? And with Spencer Long at left guard, Quentin Spain at right guard, you know, John Feliciano in there at center at the beginning, but we know that once Mitch Morris is back and able to participate, that he is in written in pen as the starting center for the Buffalo Bills. So I can't think of an offseason, right, where the offensive line is truly being the focal point of OTAs, of training camp, and really of the preseason. With so many additions that the Bills made, knowing that there will likely be four new starters on the offensive line, barring some sort of, Wyatt Teller really establishing himself as he finished the season as a starter during 2018, there will be four new starters along the offensive line and seeing how that plays out. But you think to each year, right? I mean, usually you're talking about a focus on the quarterback play, maybe the wide receiver battles, things taking place at linebacker or defensive end. Here we are in 2019, and all of the focus, truly, a lot of excitement around the offensive line. And I think it's interesting for Bills fans, as you went through the 2018 season, you think back to the departures of Eric Wood and Richie Incognito, and then you get yourself into a position where the line really does struggle throughout the year. The running game struggles, pass protection struggles, just overall not a great year for the Bills offensive line. That fans that would normally, you know, maybe not get too excited about investments made at guard, at center, at either of the two tackle spots, really start to look at things and get excited about the investment made by the team, some of the new faces that are in, and really seeing how some of these guys will compete and what it'll look like for the team moving forward. Another area of note, I think, that comes in, Levi Wallace did line up as the first-team quarterback opposite of Tre'Davious White. I think there will truly be competition for him, right? You talk about the signing of Kevin Johnson and EJ Gaines, which is noted by Perino in his article that you can find at NewYorkUpstate.com. But with that, I did think it was interesting, right? Levi Wallace, the undrafted free agent out of Alabama in 2018, performed admirably once he became the starter, right? Highly rated by Pro Football Focus, did a great job as part of the number two defense in the NFL for the Buffalo Bills, and getting the early nod. Again, we're just talking OTAs, not putting too much stock into it, but let's be honest, right? We're in the latter part of May here. We're going to come and deliver different podcasts to you each week. So when we've got starters lining up for the OTAs, something I really think that we can report on for you. But an interesting early vote of confidence for Levi Wallace, obviously him being at least lining up as the starter at cornerback, obvious Tre'Davious White early on in OTAs. So interesting for the Bills. They will be off on Wednesday for OTAs before they return to the field on Thursday. be curious to see other news and reports that will come about after that. Another interesting report that did come out of Buffalo earlier in the day on Tuesday, but Eric Wood is going to replace Mark Kelso in the game day broadcast opposite of John Murphy. Eric Wood, the former Buffalo Bills center, will be doing color commentary. Sal Capaccio will remain on the sideline as Mark Kelso puts more of his focus and efforts and his work with NASCAR and his NASCAR team, and obviously have enjoyed his part of the broadcast over, I believe, the last 16 years where he's been paired up with John Murphy. But with that, really excited to see Eric Wood get the opportunity. Have seen him call different college games just last season, his regular segments on WGR and calling into other shows, his recent podcast that he has launched. And Eric Wood really staying active in the Buffalo community, the new color commentator opposite John Murphy for the Buffalo Bills radio broadcast. I think it's just great to see that he's staying a part of the Buffalo Bills family and excited to see that. So congratulations to Eric Wood, obviously to Mark Kelso for a fantastic career as a color commentator opposite of John Murphy, but really excited to hear Eric Wood on those broadcasts with Murph and with Sal Capaccio. So with all that being said, this will wrap up today's second Breaking Buffalo Rumblings podcast. We can catch the earlier episode where we break down the signing of Jerry Hughes. And be sure to log on to BuffaloRumblings.com for all the latest news and updates. You can find me on Twitter at Anth Marino. And be sure you pound that subscribe button so you can get all the latest, not just from Breaking Buffalo Rumblings, but also Buffalo Rumblings Q&A, Blitz Bills, the Believe podcast as well, and Circling the Wagon. So we've got you covered with a lot of different voices, a lot of different content. We appreciate you subscribing. Always appreciate the feedback. And thanks again for joining us on Breaking Buffalo Rumblings.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more. Strengthen security posture and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's vanta.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.